so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
In their hearts, and so willing in their hearts that there was more than enough. Now, I'm going to throw something out here that there might be some speculation. In my opinion, what does that mean? That means it's not necessarily all in this book, but I believe it is in the book. But in my opinion, if the church did, if everybody on the in the U.S. of A. did what the Bible says, do you know we could do away with Social Security? Do you know we could do away with welfare? We could do away with all those things because they would come to the church in order to get fulfilled. And then the church could determine, hey, you ain't sick, you just faking. Come on, somebody. Oh, you can't work because you lazy. That's why you can't work. And the Bible says that a man that don't work shouldn't eat. Oh, y'all, I'm in the wrong house right now. That's okay. But that's the reality. Because the way that God set it up, that all of the widows would be taken care of by the church. All of the poor would be taken care of by the church. But we can't do that because not everybody does what they're supposed to do. So we do what we can. Last year we fed 19,000 people. Come on, give God some praise. We're on record. According by the end of the year, I believe that Don said we would have fed more than 20,000 this year. Come on, give God some more praise. But the first part of this lesson, let me talk to you a little bit. We look at the words that form our text for today, and we find here lessons from the story of the people of Israel of what it means to live with the spirit of generosity. Point number one is this. The first part of the lesson we see tells us something about the readiness to give. The readiness to give. At least five times in the story, it describes their giving with this phrase, a willing heart. A willing heart. God, give us a willing heart. And can I tell you that when I talk about giving, it's not just finances. Because there were some people that, sometimes I know people who try to buy their kids love with money. It doesn't work. I know that they try to buy their spouse's love with money. It doesn't work. Sometimes you need to be present. Good preaching, Pastor. When the call went out to the people of God to bring the material necessary to build the tabernacle of worship, something stirred in their hearts and they gave with a willing heart. In that willful giving, they were giving in the name or the same as they were giving to God, or as God gives to us. As God gives to us, He has a willing heart to give. We don't have to beg God to give us the gifts that He wants. Who wants to have a gift that you got to beg for? I don't want that kind of gift. I don't want a gift with strings attached. I want the gift that God says, I love you enough that I'm going to give you this, whatever it is. When I get on Christmas, I don't like for my wife to go, honey, here's a gift for you, but before you get it, you got to do this, that, and the other. I don't like those kind of gifts. What God gave you was gifts without strings, and what we ought to do is give God gifts without strings. God, here I am. You ain't got to use me the way I want to be used. Just use me in the way that you see fit. As much as I am and who I am, as much as I have, I give unto thee, God, because you gave everything to me, and I just want to bring you thanksgiving. God never commands us to do something that He is unwilling to model. He never gives us or commands us to do something He's not willing to model. But He is a giving God. That means in James 1:17 when He says, every good thing bestowed on every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. That's what He means in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's what He's talking about in John 3:16 when He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus was God's wealth in circulation. It It was Jesus. He was Emmanuel, God with us. For a brief moment in time, he put aside his glory and he freely gave up his equality with God. He gave up riches in heaven. He came to this earth and deliberately put himself into crucifixion. He gave his time, he gave his love, he gave his compassion, he gave his mercy, and he gave his life. Church, he didn't take himself out of circulation until he had been completely spent and the purchase of redemption had been made. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he writes in 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. It all begins in creation. It continues in incarnation. And then it begins in the atonement, church. Over and over again, God demonstrates himself as a giver. Thank you for being a giver. And he has modeled the spirit of generosity for us. Whenever he touches your life by the power of his spirit, one of the first things to happen is that he changes you. He begins to change you from a greedy grabber into a cheerful giver. How many of those look at your neighbor and say, sometimes it takes a little longer for others? I tell people's heart gets saved a lot longer, a lot sooner than their wallet. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The hearts of the children of Israel has been touched by God so that they gave with a willing spirit, a willing heart. They gave joyfully, they gave cheerfully, and the moment the call went out, they were ready to give. Point number two is this. The second part of the lesson is this spirit of generosity is that identifies the recipient of their gifts. Who is the recipient of your gift? The Israelites, all the men, the Bible said in verse 29, all the Israelites and the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material to all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a free will offering unto the Lord, unto God. This is an important point for you to remember as you cultivate a spirit of generosity. Because you got to give it unto the Lord and not just to the person. Because you get a certain amount of joy helping poor people. Why, I can't get no good, look real quiet. Well, who's he looking at? Nobody. Come on, you feed a child, we get a certain sense of gratitude. Well, look at me. Right? But you don't look at the recipient. Well, we need to look at the recipient. Who are we giving it to? We're giving it to God. When you do something for somebody, you need to do it as unto God. And that's the problem with so many people. We do it unto people, and then we get messed up and all out of whack when they do us wrong. You're doing it for the wrong reason. You can give something to somebody. It doesn't matter what they do. You just got to give it unto the Lord. Yeah, good preaching, Pastor. They didn't bring an offering to Moses. They didn't bring it to the elders. They didn't bring an offering to the Levites. They didn't bring it. They brought it. They didn't even bring it to the offering of the tabernacle. They brought it unto God. And the point is, whatever you offer in ministry, whatever you bring to in worship, you must always keep in mind that you're giving it to the Lord and not to anybody else. When I lift my hands and I worship God, I'm not worshiping Josh. I'm not worshiping Patty. I'm not worshiping Brad. I'm not worshiping the music. I'm worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm giving him thanks for what he's given me. I'm giving him thanks for what he's brought into my life. I'm giving him thanks for salvation. I am giving him thanks because he is worthy to be praised. And I love Josh, but he ain't worthy to be praised. I love Patty, but she ain't worthy to be praised. I love Brad, but he ain't worthy to be praised. But I love Jesus, and he is more worthy to be praised than any other thing on this planet. If you give to a person, then if you ever have a falling out with that person, you stop being generous to that person. I had a lady years and years ago. We were building this church, as a matter of fact. And a woman came to me and she said, "Pastor, I have some back tithes." I said, "Back tithes?" She said, "Yeah, I hadn't given my tithe in about, I don't know, a few months." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "But wasn't you going to so-and-so's church?" She said, "Yeah, but I didn't agree with the way they spent the money." I go, oh. I said, "We don't want that tithe. That belongs to that church." She goes, "Pastor, do you realize that it's $5,000? I said, "No. I didn't realize that it was $5,000. And now with this new information, it still belongs to that other church." Amen. She said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Did you attend that church?" She said, "Yeah." "Even though you didn't agree with the way they were spending the money, you still attended." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Then that belongs to them." Amen. Because I'm not giving it. We ain't filming this, are we? I don't agree with the church of God the way they spend money all the time, but I'm not giving it just to them. I'm giving it unto the Lord. That's good preaching, Pastor. You must always keep in mind that you bring, that what you bring, you give unto the Lord. If you give to a program, then when the program is no longer in operation, when that program goes in a direction different than where you thought it ought to go, you quit being generous. If you give to a project and the project is over, we tend to give with strings attached. But when we give to people or programs or projects, we do that. We give with the strings attached. When we give to people or programs or projects, we tend to want a certain amount of recognition for our giving. When we were building this building, a person came to me and said, "Pastor, I'll give a certain amount of money if you put my name on it." Y'all be surprised at some of the stuff I get. And my flesh wanted to go, "Okay." Matter of fact, in my mind, I had already said okay, and I knew where I was going to put it. It was going to be right where we blocked over. So I'd put your name on it and then block over your name. Yeah, write it on the foundation. But I didn't do that. We want a plaque with our name on it. We want to mention of it from the church record. We want a building named after a loved one. And none of that's wrong. I'm just saying that's not the spirit of generosity. If you're living for the Lord, Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to our Father." So whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Whatever you give, give it unto the Lord. See, the first part of the lesson talks about the readiness to give, and then they gave cheerfully with a willing heart. The second part tells us the recipients of their gift, which was unto God. And then the third part, number three, the third part of this lesson is that talks about the riches that we bring. Here we see that if we're going to live by the spirit of generosity, then we need only concern ourselves to bring what we have. I'm going to let that sink in. We're to bring what we have. Wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't say you spend it all and you ain't got it now. But we bring what we have. See, I remember an age, some of these faith preachers, and I consider myself a faith preacher, but I know some of them who would tell you to give your rent money. That ain't what the Bible says. Bible says pay your tithe, but then bring what you can and what you will. Rent money is not, now if God spoke to you,
take your rent money.
I'd be getting it out of my pocket. Give your electric bill. And I know people who God's done that to, and for whatever reason, blessed them. But on a normal basis, God does not expect you to give what you don't have. He don't expect you to go borrow money just so you can give. Well, that's good preaching. He only concerns us to bring what we have. Verse 23 and 24, "And every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red and porpoise skins, brought them, everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze and brought the Lord's contribution, and every man who had in his possession. Some had silver, they brought it. Some had scarlet material, that's what they brought. Some had acacia wood, they brought it. Some had spices for the anointing oil, they brought it, that's what they brought. Some had skills as weaver and cloth and spinners of thread, that's what their contribution was. What is it that you have that you could give unto God? Well, I don't have anything. How about this? Do you have any time? And everybody in here always, we get some form of money. What do you have? Well, but Pastor, I can't do anything. That's a lie from the devil. What you have, give unto God. Some had a precious stone for the ephod and the breastplate. They brought it. Notice that God didn't ask them to bring what they didn't have. That's important to remember. God didn't ask you to bring what you didn't have. Always ask you to bring what you have. You need to understand that God will never require more of you than you're capable of giving. God will never. Listen to me. I remember, and to God be the glory, and I'm not trying to brag. The only person I can talk about is me, because I am a giver. Now, our bookkeeper is sitting right over here. She's been our bookkeeper how long? 9 years? Yeah. And then our bookkeeper retired is Sandra Brown in the back. She's been here. She was here when I got here. She's about the only one I hadn't run off yet. Because, man, she is stubborn. No, I'm just kidding. But she was our bookkeeper for 15 years, Sandra. And so she'll tell you, I'm a giver. And our other bookkeeper will tell you, I'm a giver. Not only am I a giver, I'm a faithful giver. So I'm just telling that. But there was one case, and Sandra, you'll remember Cookie. And I wanted to be able to bless this person with a car. Because I was getting a new car, and I was trying to work it out if I could just pay this off. I could have this, and I could have that car, and I could give this lady the car. Her husband had passed away, and she was my neighbor, and I wanted to bless her with the car. And in my heart, I wanted to, but I just couldn't work it out. And out of the blue, I can't even remember the details, honestly, but out of the blue, I remember I was able, it was just like the day of, it worked out that I was able to get this car, and I didn't have to put the other car up, and it was mine, it was paid for, so I was able to give it. See, sometimes when it is in your heart to do, even though you might not have it right now, God will make a way for you to do when it is in your heart to do. Amen. You know, I know some of you like right now, well, Pastor, it's in my heart to pay this building off if God would just let me hit the lottery. Listen, baby, if you can't pay tithe off of $300 a week, you sure ain't going to pay it over $300 million. Come on, somebody. That's preaching right there. All right. You need to understand this. He will never ask you to produce beyond what he has enabled you to do. If God ever asks you for something you do not have, that's not the time to get frustrated or to give up in despair or to check out of the process. Now, wait a minute. Stay with me. When God asks you for something that you don't have, start to rejoice. Why? Because God is asking you for something that you do not have. That's the promise that he's getting ready to bring to you what he just asked you to have. My God, if God is asking you for something, you get ready and give God praise because he's getting ready to bring to you that which he asked you to do. Because he will never ask you to do something you can't do. Or let me put a caveat on that. He will never ask you to do something you can't do without his help. Because he'll ask you all the time to do stuff you can't do. Like, I can't do what I do without you, God. Come on, somebody. The most important thing, those things we want to keep. Listen, you need to hear this. Those things we want to keep are usually the things we will be tempted not to give to God. Because we trust them more than we do God. Sad people tell me all the time that what great things they would do for the church if they only had the resources. If somehow they suddenly inherited a great fortune, they would do wonderful things for the kingdom of God. Quite honestly, I have a hard time believing that. The truth is that if you're not being generous with the little that you have now, it's highly unlikely that your giving is going to become suddenly generous when you have more. Because if you're greedy now, when you get more, you're going to even be more greedy. Because you're going to wonder why everybody wants to hang around you now. Come on, somebody. How many knows when you got a little something, everybody wants to hang out with you. When you buying everybody's meal, when you footing the bill, everybody's riding in your car, everybody wants to hang out. But as soon as you ask somebody for some gas money. Now, I drove. Can anybody help me out with gas? Listen, I'm willing to drive, but can anybody help me? People fall out in the spirit. I'm sorry, I was out. What'd you say? Come on, somebody. I'm going to supply the turkey. Can you bring some rolls? I'll roll my eyes. That's what I'll do. Yeah. The issue isn't what you would do if you had greater means. The issue is what are you doing with what you presently have. Did you catch that? Not what you're going to do if you had more. What are you doing with what you have? Can I tell you that if you're faithful over what you have, God knows He can trust you with more. Glory to God. This is good preaching. I'm going to listen to it again. What are you doing with what's in your hand right now? Don't be troubled by what you don't have. Don't let the enemy put you on a guilt trip and check yourself out of God's spiritual enterprise because of what you don't have. Don't let what you don't have determine your obedience to live by a spirit of generosity, but use what is in your hand right now. Because the spirit of generosity is not about amount, it is about a spirit of generosity. Hallelujah. You know what I have found? I have found that usually the people who are just middle of the road and even less are more generous than those who have more. I know people who have more money than Santa Claus. But they wouldn't give you a dime of it. Oh, don't get me started. What you need to understand is that the reason for getting in on the lifestyle where you live by the spirit of generosity is not for God's benefit. I'll go one step further. It's not even for the church's benefit. It's for your benefit. Because when you have a readiness to give, which was point one, when you make God the recipient of your gifts, number two, when you give out of your present riches, Pastor, I can't believe you. I'm on Social Security. What do you mean, my present riches? To some people, it is still present riches. Come on. See, the problem is too many of us complain about what we don't have instead of giving God thanks for what we do have. Hallelujah. Lord, you can always find somebody worse off than you. Come on, somebody. All right? But then here we come. Number four, the fourth part of the lesson comes into focus, and that is you can begin to see the results of this kind of generosity. See, because it's counterintuitive. Living by the spirit of generosity is the one sure way to ensure the blessing of God in abundance. You know, we pray a lot of times around here. When we take up the offering here, we pray for family salvation. We pray for healing in every area, and we pray for abundance in every area. I believe that we ought to live in abundance. Now, some of the reasons why some of us don't live in abundance is there's a couple of reasons. All right, are you ready? I'm gonna give you just one or two of them real quickly. One is that we don't plan. One is we're not disciplined. We're not disciplined. We eat out when we should be eating in. Come on. We got 4 cell phones. 27 tattoos. Those cost money. We got gold fillings. Come on. And cars we can't afford. Because that's the American way. We buy cars we can't afford to impress people we don't know. And then impress people we don't even like. We just want to rub their nose in. Look what I got. Am I all right? Everybody okay? All right, everybody good? Nobody mad at me yet? The Bible says that the children of Israel brought what they had. Every morning they had, they gave willingly unto God out of their resources. Until there was not only sufficient, but there was more than enough. Now watch this. When they had brought with such generosity and the tabernacle constructed with completion, then in chapter 40, here we go, beginning in verse number 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See, that's part of living in generosity. Man, when you live in the spirit of generosity, it opens up the abundance of heaven. It opens up the glory of God. And the glory of the Lord descended. The cloud stayed by the tabernacle. Did you hear me? It stayed there by the tabernacle. And when it was time for them to move to the next campsite, the cloud went out of the tabernacle and moved before them and went ahead of them. And they followed the cloud of His presence. Man, that's how I want to live my life. I want to follow the cloud of God's presence, because He will never lead me astray. He will always lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He will lead me into the right business deals. He'll lead me into the right savings account. He'll lead me into the right investments. He will lead me into discipline. Are you listening to me? He will lead you out of the wilderness, or if you're in the wilderness, He'll lead you from one oasis to the next, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. Let Him open up the abundance and the blessing over your life. And it doesn't matter if I'm in the wilderness, as long as I'm in the blessing of God, as long as I'm under the covering of the Most High. Living by the spirit of generosity is one of the ways to ensure the blessing of abundance. And then it was in the time of the camp, the glory once again rested in the tabernacle. See, what I want to see is that this whole idea of living according to the spirit of generosity is because God wants to bring you under the cloud of His blessing. And that's where I want to live. I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it and blabbing it and grabbing it. I'm talking about living under the cloud of His blessing. Glory to God. You know, it would be easy for me to sit here and say, well, you know, huh? Lord, look what happened to me. My sister died. Then I was just trying to do what was right, and I came back and preached the wedding, and I went back to my seat, and he said, "Well, and then what do I get for all of it? I hit a deer, it tears up the car, and then I have to go." That would be easy, right? But you know what? What we said when we pulled over on the side of the road, we got out, and first of all, before we got out, we said, "Everybody okay?" And everybody said, "Everybody's okay." We said, "Praise the Lord," because all the other things can be replaced. Do I want to? No, I don't. But thank God for insurance. Amen. Thank God that we wasn't killed. Thank God that Jillian wasn't driving. Thank God that Sherry wasn't driving. I'm thankful that I was driving. I'm thankful. You know what? And then I had friends I could call. Matter of fact, I made one phone call. Josh said, "Pastor, I'll come get you right now." I said, "It'll be 2:30 in the morning before you get here." And just so, because I want to educate you, let me just give you this one fact of education. Uber will pick you up on I-10. It's good to know. We called an Uber. They got on the interstate, came by, picked us up, and took us to a motel. Amen. Now, when we got to the motel, it wasn't one that I would normally stay at. But thank God it was clean. It had fresh water. It had hot water. It had air conditioning. It had heat. And I was able to get a night's sleep and make sure my family was nice. You see, you just got to look at it the right way. God, I am thankful for all that You have and are doing in my life. Hey! He can't do that. He can't do that as long as you are a grasper. He can't do that as long as you hang on to what you have because of fear that you won't have enough. He can't do that as long as you can't bring yourself to live by the spirit of generosity because you aren't willing to trust that God will take care of you. He can't do that as long as you live according to what is natural for this world and not according to his nature. The giving of the children of Israel opened the way of God's glory to be revealed in their midst. That's the way it always works. When you give to God, when you give his way, when you live by the spirit of generosity, then you open up a channel for God's blessing and glory to be activated in your life. You ever talk to people that just seem like they don't have too many problems? Usually it's because they're living in a spirit of generosity. Now, that doesn't mean they have a lot. They just have a spirit of generosity. Amen. Glory to God. If there's ever a time when we needed the financial blessings of the Lord, it's now, right? Common wisdom of the world would tell us to put every penny possible back. Common wisdom of the world would tell us to grab, to hoard, to save, and to cut corners every place we can. Common wisdom of the world would tell us that we can afford to give to God. After all, he understands and wants us to take care of ourselves. But what we don't understand is we open the channel of heaven for the glory and the abundance to come our way. Now listen, there's a couple, and I've used them several times, but they used to struggle financially all the time. And just all the time. And one day I was talking to them about a budget. And they said, looked at me with all sincerity, and they go, "Well, we don't need a budget. We're tithers and we're givers." And I go, "You still need a budget. You still need to manage." See, that's the problem. Some of us start reading the Bible and we become brain dead. We listen to this message, "Oh, bless God, I'm just start giving." No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying develop a spirit of generosity. But do you know what? My giving, my tithing is a no-brainer, but my giving is planned. I plan on being generous. What? Yeah. I plan on being generous. I plan on it. Not only am I generous to this church, you know, other than Walmart, this church gets more money than I give anybody. Come on, somebody. And if I could take the car away from my wife, we might save on Walmart. I don't know, BB&T gets a lot of it. That's my mortgage. But anyway. But what I'm saying is I plan on being generous. Well, I just can't do that. You can if you start planning. See, because I started out with just, I remember when I started giving above my tithe, I remember start giving $25. And I'll tell you when it happened. The church gave me a $25 raise. And I was like, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." And this is just something I do. But anytime I get a raise, I give the first raise away. It's called first fruits. I don't preach that a lot, but I give my raise away. I give it to the church. I gave it to the Lord. Then I learned you're supposed to give it to the priest. So then I have two men in my life who are priests over me. I give it to them if I get a raise. Matter of fact, I'll go one step further. My first paycheck of the year I give away. "Pastor, how can you do that? Is it difficult?" It's right after Christmas. My taxes are due. My insurance is due. Yes. So I plan for it. Are you listening to me? So I planned to be generous. But when I gave, that first time I started giving $25 a week because I got a raise, and I gave that to the church, and the Lord said to me, "How much is enough?" And I said, "Just a little more." Come on. And so I begin to build on it, and I haven't given every raise away. I've given every first raise away, but I'm still give more than, I give away above my tithe. Why? Because I want to be generous. I went to a church last week I was at another church because I wasn't preaching. It was the first time I went to church and wasn't preaching, and I wasn't at my siblings. They didn't ask me to do anything. I went as a guest. Wow, what an experience. They had a 10 o'clock service, and I was out by 11:30, and I was at Cracker Barrel eating pancakes. I said, "This is what it feels like to go to church and not have to stay for the third or fourth service and to preach and do it. Wow, this is what it feels like. That's cool." And they're in the middle of a building program. So I had the opportunity, and because I have planned, I was able to give $100 toward their building program. Well, that ain't much. Well, ask them. Amen. And then I went to a wedding, and then I was able to bless my niece when I got there because I just wanted to tell her I'm happy for her. What are you saying, Pastor? A spirit of generosity. Spirit of generosity. I have no idea where I'm at right now. Even in lean times. Oh, good Lord, it's 10 o'clock. Why didn't somebody give me the cut it off sign? Yeah. Because I was just going, what? Woo! Hallelujah. I was wondering when I said, that's what it feels like to go to Cracker Barrel. Y'all like, yeah, if you'd shut up, I'd go right now and get me some pancakes too. I'd just shut up, man. I'm trying to figure out how that feels. When you live by the spirit of generosity, you find that God is the God of more than enough. You'll find that He'll be with you always in the lean times. He'll be with you. His glory and His grace. You'll find that He will lead you and He will guide you. You'll find that He'll be fruitful, that you'll be fruitful, that you can be productive. You'll find that He'll multiply blessings upon you. You'll find that His word is enough. That His yoke is easy. You'll find that He makes a way where there seems to be no way. You'll find that He's always provides daily bread, day by day by day, always enough for each day. When you live by the spirit of generosity, He'll lift you up when you're down. He'll strengthen you when you're weak. He'll catch you when you fall. He will bring you through every valley. He will always show up right on time. What I want you to help you understand today is that generosity isn't really about what you give. Generosity isn't about the amount you give. It's about trust. It's about placing yourself into the hand of the Lord. It's about surrendering everything to God. When you do, when you trust like that, His care, His compassion, His commitment and His covenant kicks in. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. And you're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the country. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. You're blessed when you rise up. You're blessed when you sit down. I've decided a long time ago, I'm going to live by the spirit of generosity. Hallelujah. He gave His life so that I might live. Every head bowed in this place. If you don't know Jesus, if you'd like to ask Him into your life, would you just take a moment right now? You can slip up your hand. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. But if that's you, would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Anybody in this building? I see that hand. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Would you pray this prayer with me, everybody? Because we're so excited that you're making that commitment today to Jesus. Everybody pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for dying on a cross for my sin. I ask You to come into my life and forgive me of my sin and make me whole again. I will never be the same from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.